This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, right now I'm very cool. And 10 minutes ago, I was in your parking lot and I was frying.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it says it's 93 today.
No, it's more than that in the parking lot. I'll tell you that. It's 133 in the parking lot. Jeez Louise.
Ooh, la, la.
I saw some homeless guy cooking eggs on it, and I thought, what the heck? He asked me if I wanted a sandwich. I said, no.
Yeah, look, over easy.
Over easy, please. Yeah. Oh, anyway, welcome to the show. This is a show for garden hints and advice and things like that. And if you have a question about anything in your landscape or your garden or anything at all, you can call here at 673-4464. That's 673-4464. And it doesn't matter what I'm talking about. All you got to do is interrupt us. That's good. We take that call.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We don't. You are our clients out there. We want to take care of you. And I have a national audience now.
Oh.
Yeah, I was informed today that I have a listener who lives in South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. I said, oh, come on, really? This young man who works for me, his brother lives in South Carolina, and he told me today, he says, my brother Brett listens to your show.
Cool.
I says, you're kidding me. In South Carolina?
How's South Carolina?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brett, for listening. I appreciate that.
Sorry about my fake accent there.
Yeah. Well, they don't have accents.
They don't? Okay.
No, they don't have no accents back there. What's wrong with you, Dale?
I don't know.
Well, you know, I read before I get into the body of my little talk here, I read an article about Mr. Biden saying that we're on the agenda to replant the burned up forest this year with 1 billion tree seedlings.
Biden said that?
Yeah. Yeah. I read it.
Ah.
Yeah. 1 billion seedlings. And I laughed and I says, where do you think you're going to get 1 billion seedlings? We were short last year and the year before just for our local nursery economy here in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
People that I'd normally go to grow seedlings of different sorts and everything, they were out, or I could only get like a half of my order or a third of my order.
Yeah.
And because they were overwhelmed with customers, you know, local nursery customers here in the state of Oregon. There's no way that I don't even believe there's 1 billion Doug fir seedlings being grown in the United States at this time. There may be in the next year because of what he said. But and the other thing is when I was reading the article, there was a photograph of a burned up forest there to impress us with the death. But there was all these snags sticking up, burned up snags. And I thought, well, unless you take those snags out, don't plant baby trees, little seedlings underneath, because as those snags get rotten, as they're standing there for X amount of years and the trees are starting to grow, say, 6, 8, 10 feet, and then these snags start to break over, all your efforts have been reduced to nothing simply because you didn't take the snags out and clear the ground. And these are dead trees. And if you go up to North Umpqua, you'll see, you know, thousands of them, just thousands of them. Just, you know, not, and you don't have to go very far, you know, maybe, almost a steamboat. And there's just literally hundreds of thousands of dead snags. You cannot plant in between dead snags. You have to clear the ground. You have to make it not clean, but clear.
Right.
And
give it a chance.
Yes, otherwise. And I'm thinking, well, this ought to be an interesting thing. But anyway, that's my political.
Maybe he's going to get it from China.
Yeah, that's my political thing for today, so don't worry about it. Oh, golly. Well, since our weather has turned up a few degrees here over the last few days.
Ah, you love it.
Yeah. We have to have a little more water added to our landscapes. And I know I preach on overwatering daily and scream about it, and people hate me for saying that all the time. But here's a hint for you guys that didn't hear all my other soliloquies on overwater. You know, your small annual flowers, will need it the most in this heat. You know, flowers like petunias, marigolds, geraniums, you know, anything that you've, you know, had a little 4-inch pot and you put it in the ground for color and stuff like that. They need a little bit more frequent water because the root system is so small and so close to the surface. But you don't want to flood them. You just want to make sure you get them give them a shot.
Yeah.
And, of course, hanging baskets, because hanging baskets, the root systems are up in the air and they're more subject to the heat. Even if they're hanging in the shade, the heat still penetrates the root system a little bit.
And the container.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll all survive, you know, as long as they get a small drink, you know, on a 100-degree day, for crying out loud. Just like what we need, a small drink on a 100-degree day.
Sometimes more.
Yeah, and don't water them in the middle of the afternoon. Best times, of course, early morning and after sunset. That's when there'll be less evaporation and more goes into the plant root system. So don't waste the water by doing it, you know, at 1 o'clock. I mean, it all won't be wasted, but a portion of it will.
Yeah.
And like I said, I know I repeat myself a lot on this particular subject, but it is so important. And if there's somebody out there listening who has never listened before, maybe this is new to them and they've had a problem with it, and this is how to fix it, okay?
We may have another listener in North Carolina.
Yeah, you never know. No, South Carolina. South Carolina.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, there are more gardeners in South Carolina.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, for the folks that are hearing this kind of thing for the first time, this may help them in what they do in their yards, you know, growing flowers, shrubs, trees, and all that stuff. Of course, larger shrubs that are newly planted this year will also need a little extra. And that's the ones that are newly planted this year. You know, any shrub or tree that's been in for, say, gone through two seasons, has a better developed root system and won't need too much extra water. Just kind of do your normal thing, as long as your normal thing isn't every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be okay. Just picture like a cool shower at the end of a hot day. You just feel better, right? I mean, it perks you up a little bit. And
yeah.
You go, hey, I'm going to live. All right. It's good.
Then sit down in front of a box fan.
That's right. And then, of course, vegetable gardens, of course, they have a bit of a smaller root system than a big shrub. Don't ignore them if you want produce, you know, like tomatoes and peppers and, you know, don't worry about zucchinis. They don't need anything.
No.
They just need a lot of room because we only planted one zucchini this year in our garden. And already we've gotten six zucchini plant
fruits
or vegetables off them.
Yeah.
Six. And there's flowers all over it, and it's just pumping them out like the, you know, a slot machine or something.
Well, bing, they reproduce like rabbits.
Oh yeah, worse than rabbits, man. But if you cook zucchini with a little bit of butter and onions and quick fry it tastes pretty good. You know, give it a little seasoning. I mean, it's not bad. If you just boil it and throw it on a plate,
cucumbers aren't bad at all.
No, cucumbers are doing good. Problem though with our blueberries is the birds keep eating them.
Oh man,
I don't know. They sneak in at night or something. It's just like, what are you guys doing?
When it's cooler, they want to.
Yeah, right. So don't ignore your vegetable garden. You know, keep it damp, not soaked, and it's going to do well for you. Now, one thing, of course, and I've said this 212 times before, keep in mind that bark mulch around your plants helps to keep the root system cool, the ground cooler. It's an insulation, and it keeps moisture in the ground so it doesn't evaporate. If the moisture is on the ground, bare ground, a lot of it will evaporate and heat the soil. But the bark mulch, you put a couple inches of bark mulch around a plant or more. You can put 6 inches around, say, a big tree. But that bark mulch stays damp. You know, it looks dry and brown on the top. Dig down an inch, it's still damp. Dig down 2-3 inches, and it's a little bit damper yet. So you know that the root systems are adequately cool and damp from, you know, this 100-degree weather stuff that's going on.
I love it.
Yeah, and if you want to bury yourself in bark mulch and then water yourself, you'll keep cool, man. But there are some shrubs, and I'm leading into something here, okay?
Okay.
There are some shrubs and trees that are very hardy, and once they've been in the ground one full season, They need less care and water and eventually not need any summer water. That's how tough they are. And I'll give you some examples of something here a little bit later. But you can still give them a drink, but they won't die. They won't die if you don't give them a drink. They may kind of slow down a bit in their growth, but they certainly won't die. But a very hardy ground cover is Cotoneae aster. And it's an evergreen. Blooms white flowers in the spring, and the white flowers turn to red berries, and you know it's a pretty plant, and it hugs the ground. It's good for growing down hillsides or places where the soil is really garbagey.
Blackberries.
It grows in spite of the soil, yeah. My favorite is called Scarlet Leader Cotoneae aster. It gets about 2 feet tall, maybe, but it spreads very rapidly. Mm. And I have planted this. I had one client here, I think it was up on Excello or one of those streets up there in Hewcrest, and he had a steep bank on one side of his yard. I mean, it was straight down, and a lot of it was rock, but the top was soil. And so I planted a row of them. He wanted to kind of hold the soil in place. And so I planted a row of these Scarlet Leader Cotoneae aster. And they're just a tough plant. And it was growing really well. Well, within, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, and I do drive-bys all the time, see how things are doing.
Sure.
So about 5 years later, as I was driving by on the side where the steep bank was, mm-hmm. I looked up, and the Cotoneae aster had already started coming down that bank, and they were down the bank about, 8 to 10 feet.
Mm.
And I haven't looked at it, 2 years now, 3 years.
Fight.
So it might all the way be down to the street by now. That's how tough these puppies are. If you want to cover some ground quickly, something like the Cotoneae aster ground cover is good because it's not something that you have to babysit and worry about and say, oh my gosh, I missed 6 waterings this month. Nah, don't worry about it. As long as I got 1 or 2 done while it's young, while it's the first year in the ground, you're good to go. Once that go through that winter and it gets really soaked and
established
Established exactly. Yeah. And the following spring, I mean, it's gangbusters. It's moving, man. You don't have to worry about it. And like I said, the birds love the berries, and they'll just go in there and suck them all very quickly, but they can't get all of them because there's about 1 million of them.
Where's the BB gun?
Yeah, well.
No, I don't advocate that.
Stop it. This is a plant show, not a hunting show. But it's a great cover plant, and easily can spread 15 feet, easily. I've seen them spread even more than that, just one plant. So for the very good, for the steep banks with the poor soil, and if you have it in a small place, say in a planting bed like your front entry that's only, say, 6 feet wide or something like that, all you got to do is snip it back when it hits the sidewalk or, snip it back 6 inches, 8 inches from the sidewalk and keep it that way. Neat and clean. You don't have to mess with it. It's simple to do. And if it's 100 degrees every day in the summer, doesn't even care. That's what I like about it.
Sounds like something else I know.
Yeah, it doesn't even care. But just keep it in balance, and it'll be a good performer for you. Okay, another one.
Could we take a break first?
If we have to.
We'll leave you a cliffhanger right there.
Okay, there's another one coming.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back there, Guy.
We are back. And if you have a call, 673-4464. I'm talking about drought-resistant plants today. So for you folks that want just tough stuff and you don't have to mess with it, I got a list, okay? So listen up. And I was getting in, I talked about Scarlet Leader Cotoni Aster, but there are other Cotoni Asters, maybe five or six varieties that I'm aware of. There might be more that are just as tough. I like Scarlet Leader because it's so fast growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll grow 2 feet a year for crying out loud if you in the right circumstances.
Question: does it kind of look like that vine that I have?
No, not even. The leaf is kind of a purplish green, and then the flowers are white and the berries are red. So it's a decorative plant as well.
Okay.
So that vine you gave me looks like a weed. This vine. I went and I took it to my greenhouse and I put it in a nice pot. I don't know if it's growing or not. That was last week. We'll see. I'll check on it. But another drought-resistant ground cover is Kinnikinick. Anybody ever hear of Kinnikinick? I'll spell it for you.
I think I have.
K-I-N-N-I-K-I-N-N-C-K. Kinnikinick.
Now, all right. And the music format is?
Kinnikinick. It's a play in Russia. But this plant grows wild in our mountains and survives deep snow and hot sun and lives in rocks and needs no care at all. One time I was on the Pacific Crest Trail, walked in a ways up there, up the top of the North Umpqua there, and I'm looking at plants, you know, and I'm seeing if I can identify what's up there. I think I was about 5,500 foot elevation or something like that. And I see these, you know, there's rocks everywhere up there. And I look and I see, what are these green things growing on these rocks? And I look closely. It was Kinnikinick. Just up there, you know, in hot rocks in full sun. And looked healthy, too. And it was all, and I started looking around. It was all over. It's not the same brand that we sell in the nursery or cultivate for yards, but it was the wild one, you know.
The tough one.
The tough one, yes. Don't mess with me. I'll grow up on your couch. But like I said, it grows wild in our mountains and survives all that deep snow, hot sun. You know, sometimes where I was, I know it gets, 10, 12 feet of snow in a good winter easily.
Yeah.
And it's clear down on the ground. So,
right where the action is.
Yeah. So, and then there's a very hardy flowering plant. Remember, these are all drought-resistant type plants, and these are the easy ones to grow, okay? A very hardy flowering plant is a rock rose, and it's not a rose like we know a rose. It's just the name, the common name is rock rose, and it's kind of a larger plant. Grows about 3 feet tall. Mine at my place spread about 3-4 feet around. It's evergreen. We never water it. The first year we did, and it's been in, 10, 15 years by now. And it has just spread, and it blooms all summer with little pink flowers, white flowers. Yeah, it's tough. And the deer don't eat it.
Is that right?
Yeah, because, they eat almost everything else I got in the yard, but they don't eat the rock rose. But it's very, very hardy. And like I say, mine don't get any water except what falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
and the pink flowers, like I say, are in the spring and summer, and they just do well. In fact, I was looking at them not too long ago, thinking, man, I need to cut those dudes back. Maybe get some cuttings from them, and I think I will, because these are time and tested materials. They grow in the sun. They'll grow in the shade. Good entryway plant. Good plant for a bank that you don't want a ground cover on, but you want something that maybe is going to be 2-3 feet tall and spread, and it's not wild. You don't have to worry about getting a machete out there to prune it or anything like that. But give it some adequate space, and they really look good. Most likely, these things probably would be larger if I did give them water and fertilizer. I think the first year, and they've been in, 10, 12, 15 years, I can't even remember anymore. But I think if we would have given them some regular water, maybe once a week, or fertilizer a couple times a year, they might be bigger. I don't know. Because,
yeah.
But I didn't want to walk all the way over there with a bucket of water because they're on the other side of the creek next to the road. And, you know, my wife planted them there. And I thought, what did you plant those there for? Because I like them. Okay.
All right. You're either going to grow or you're not.
That's right. Okay, then skipping to the super hardy, the juniper family. Everybody, you know, knows junipers. Oh, yeah, gosh.
She was a good girl.
There's too many varieties to list, but all of them can grow anywhere in a sunny location. I think I counted, when I was doing my research, I think I counted 87 varieties of juniper in the Western Garden Book.
Oh,
and, of course, 87 varieties, and they'll all grow here in Douglas County.
That's even more amazing.
I know. And I think we might only have two or three varieties, the ones I like best, the ones that perform the best and grow. You know, the ones that grow flat on the ground, they get dead spots in them, and they're okay at first, but then in the long term, they kind of get a little raggedy unless you want to prune all the little dead ones off. And I think it's because they're laying on the ground, and there's no air circulation and maybe too much moisture or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the ones that are more upright, you know, grow to two feet tall, maybe 3 feet tall for the bigger ones, and spread. And they'll spread six, seven, 8 feet, you know.
Wow.
Depends on the variety. But you can plant them in a rock pile and they'll grow. I mean, that's how cool. That's how big they are. That's how good they are.
Yeah.
And and I was going through the list and I'm reading the descriptions of the ones that I'm not aware of. And I mean, there's a lot of different sizes, shapes, the colors. But my favorite of all, and I put a lot of these in landscape jobs where somebody has a bank. Where nothing seems to grow except weeds, and they want something of color and something that's hardy and something that doesn't need a lot of care. And I go, oh, yeah, you don't want much, do you? But right away in my imagination, I think of the Gold Coast juniper. And it's called Gold Coast juniper because, you know, it's kind of the needles are kind of a gray-green, more green than gray, but there's a little bit hint of gray in there. But the new growth, when it first comes out, is a golden yellow.
Ah, okay.
Real striking golden yellow. It looks good. And they just grow like gangbusters. One job I had out in Melrose area, must have been 7 to 8 years ago, I'm not sure now, but they had a front bank that was probably 100 feet long and 15 feet long, I mean wide. And they wanted some kind of a ground cover, and I said, well, why don't we try these juniper? And we planted them in there, and we put them about 6-7 feet apart, and then staggered. The next row would be triangulating the first row, so they're not all lined up like soldiers. And you ought to see them today. I mean, when you go by on the road, their house is probably 500 feet up on a flat part, and they just shine at you as you're going by on the road. I mean,
wow,
it's just
nice.
Bright golden yellow. It's not yellow. It's got that gold look
tint.
To it. Yeah. And I think out of, what do we plant? 60 of them, 70 of them, I'm not sure. One died out of 70 or 60.
Oh, wow.
Only one died. And the lady says, well, I think the dog was biting it and chewing it. That's why, because it was on near the top of the bank, you know. So
yeah.
It was easy access for the dog to lay there and chew on. And but that, out of all those juniper, that's the only one that had any problems. And like I say, it's something full sun. It doesn't matter. Well, it matters. You can put it in poor soil, and it'll grow, but it won't be as fast or maybe as spectacular as if, you know, you give them good soil and each planting hole, blah, 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 do that. Do the right way, and they're going to look good. They're going to really look good. They're not going to cost you $1 million in water or fertilizer to keep them alive either, and so that's why I like them.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. We got a break?
Oh, a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You keep fingering the dials.
I'm trying to get the levels.
Oh,
right.
am I unlevel?
Aren't we all?
In this room, I think we are. But it's a very, very, very attractive plant, and it's Gold Coast juniper. There are other yellow junipers, and there's some golden junipers, but this is called Gold Coast. It's the brightest and the best of the yellow ones. How's that? And you can plant it in amongst other things. It's not just for banks. If you don't overplant, you could have one in a planting area, you know, close to the, say you have a front porch and there's two planting areas on the front porch that maybe are, 8 feet around or something like that. You put one in the center of each of those, and that does it. That fills the thing up in a few years. You don't have to worry about it, don't have to water it.
And it sounds easy.
Oh, it is easy. I mean, that's the beauty of them. And you don't spend a jillion dollars on water. But there are other junipers that are attractive, and they come in multiple colors, like blue, deep green, like tam junipers. I made a mistake with tam junipers when I first started my landscaping business. They're deep green, they're light green, just a lot of shades of green. You think, well, green's green. Well, not really. When you start putting these different plants together, I mean, there's a lot of variety of the word green. Yeah. But in my old house in Roseburg, when I first started in business, and I've told this story, I had to pull out roses and
bushes. That's what I was going to say. Is that the Rose House?
Yes, the Rose House. It took me 3 years to clear out so I could get something to plant in there. But right along the driveway, I thought that'd be nice to have a little planting bed. And it was just a single wide driveway. It was, you know, built in the 40s kind of place where people only had one car. Well, we had a car.
And a big one.
We had a car and a pickup, you know. So, but anyway, so I made about a bed about 10 feet long, maybe 12, I'm not sure. But maybe 4 feet wide. Maybe three to 4 feet wide. And I thought, I'll get some of those tam junipers. And because I saw them around and they were really cheap. You know, I thought, you know, this is an experiment. We'll find out. And I think I paid 98 cents for the tam juniper.
That's a bargain.
Now they're $11.95.
Oh, mamma mia.
So, you know, that's how long I've been a businessman.
Now there's inflation for you.
Oh, it's inflation. So I got four tam junipers. And like I say, this bed is probably 8-9 feet long, 10 feet long at the most. And I spaced them out. I put them in the middle of the bed, which was 3 to 4 feet wide. Put them in the middle of the bed, and they were, maybe 3 feet apart, 3.5 feet apart.
Uh-huh.
And they look good. They look cute. I put some bark in there. Yeah. My wife said, oh, that looks so nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 3 years later, these little tiny junipers
cute little things.
Yeah, these cute little things. They were overgrowing each other. They were 5 feet wide probably, a good 18 inches tall. I mean, they were gorgeous, but there was no room at the end, man. I mean, there was no space. You couldn't see the soil because they had grown so well.
Did you have to separate some of them? Or?
I took them all out.
Okay.
I mean, because when they start scratching your car and trying to eat people, you know, you got to take them
out. That's no good.
That's no good, right?
Well, we got a break now.
Okay, I'll be back. I got a lot of good stories.
All right. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a question. Don't hesitate to call.
News Radio. Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. We're up to 96 degrees there, Mike.
Yeah, in this room maybe, but out in the parking lot, it's a whole lot hotter. Anyway, I've been talking about drought-resistant plants. Resistant, like the drought doesn't bother them. Being dry doesn't bother them. I mean, they just grow in spite of you, not because of you. Those are the kind of plants you want to put in your yard, in places that are too far for sprinklers, or if you got a bank, or the other side of the driveway where nothing else is growing. These, you know, that's the kind of stuff. It's good. You're not a slave to the hose or the sprinkler. And as I was talking about junipers here and the ground cover types, and some of them are flat on the ground, some of them grow a foot, some of them grow 3 feet, you know, that kind of thing. But there are tree junipers as well that I will discuss here in a minute. But and I said this earlier, but I have a copy of the Western Garden book, which is a huge book with, you know, thousands and thousands of plants and descriptions and all that. Yeah. So I got into the juniper section and I started to count how many varieties there were. And I said this in the last segment, there were 87 varieties listed. And like I said, most are shrubs that are classified as ground covers. But there are, like I say, the tree varieties as well. And if you want to see photos of anything, you know, just look it up on your computer on the internet thingy, and you can see for yourself what they look like after a while. So there are just literally thousands of drought tolerant shrubs and trees available if you don't have the water to supply their needs, or if you just don't want to do anything in your yard except watch hardy things grow. That's okay.
There you go.
Yeah. So, juniper trees. If you want a juniper tree, there are several to choose from if you can find them in the marketplace. Not too many nurseries carry them. More, you know, Medford, Grants Pass, where it's a little bit drier, and of course over in Bend and those places where it's, you know, semi-arid desert kind of country, they would have more of a selection. No. But I have a few varieties from time to time just because I like them. They look wild. They look good, you know, like a Hollywood juniper. It's kind of it's an upright, and it just grows, the branches are twisted and curvy, and it just looks cool. I don't know how else to describe it.
Kind of like, well, probably not kind of like, but like, I can't even say the word right, bonsai?
Bonsai, but it's a full, it's very, very full.
Okay.
Bonsai is a lot less branching and branches and foliage on that. But, you know, and like I say, if you can find them on the market, great. You might have to go to 28 nurseries to find what you want. But they are out there. And the most common one that may be available in our area is simply called the Western Juniper. Ooh. And it grows to a height of, say, 30 to 50 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah. And it grows wild in eastern Oregon. You know, I mean, you go from Bend North or...
That's where I've heard about.
Yeah. And you get out of the Ponderosa Pine Forest, and it's a little more arid north of Bend, and you see these other trees, and that's just a Western Juniper. And some of them, you know, they're kind of cool looking. They're not your uniform, hedgy kind of looking things. They got kind of wild branching patterns and stuff like that. But they do cast a little shade. And if you wanted, say, a little shade and a little sun and you wanted something different, hey, one of these upright junipers would do the trick, and you don't have to take care of it, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
that's the cool thing.
Do you have any of those in stock?
I'm not sure. I was thinking about that yesterday or this morning, and I got busy doing something else, and I didn't look. I know we were carrying them. I don't know. We may have some left, and the bigger ones are out back in the back part of our retail facility. Mm. So, but I'm going to make sure after this radio show that I try to find some and have some in stock.
Somebody's going to ask.
Yeah, because I like them.
I
like them because they're kind of rustic, wild looking, and they, like I said, they will throw a little bit of shade, not like a maple tree or something like that, but a little bit of shade. And there's not too many around. You don't see too many in Roseburg, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And it's just different. And when I design landscapes for folks, you know, I say, well, how would you like this? Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they got some ideas. And then I insert my ideas and say, well, why don't we try this? I don't want to design something that looks like the neighbor across the street or the next door neighbor. I mean, I want something that's unique.
Yeah.
And explain to them the uniqueness of this particular plant versus that particular plant. And, you know, pretty soon they're nodding their head and saying, yeah, go ahead. Just make it look good and different. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Make it stand out.
I can do that, you know? And, but these Western junipers, like I said, they'll grow 30 to 50 feet tall. and about 30 feet wide, you know, from branch tip to branch tip.
You know, that's plenty big.
Well, yeah, it is. And if you got a nice big yard and you know, it'll look good. And it's native to the Sierra Nevada mountains and has a range from like central Washington all the way to Southern California. So it can take snow, it can take heat, it can take rain, it can take anything. Oh, geez. And it grows in very poor, sandy, unfertile soil. So,
not very good condition.
No, and it's just perfect. Oh. It just looks good, you know. And like I say, if you want a good look at them, you go to Bend and go north, or go to Bend and go east, and pretty soon you'll see these trees, like especially if you go from Bend to Lakeview on that road. I forget what highway that is, but you get out there, and it's not solid like that, but you'll come into some of these canyons, and you'll see a grove of them. And they just look really nice.
Wow.
And they got they're not, they kind of a gray green color to the foliage too. It's not deep green, it's not deep gray or anything. It's kind of a combination. And, you know, it's just very unique in that respect. And, but, you know, from central Washington to Southern California, that's a good range.
Yeah.
You know, And it's nice to be having a tree in your yard with and the foliage is fragrant.
A plus.
Yeah, that's a plus. I'm thinking fragrant. I never experienced that. So next time I'm over in that country, I'm going to go and smell some trees.
Go smell them, not hug it. Smell it.
No, they're a little prickly. If you hug it, you don't hug it for long.
It's like a cactus.
Yeah. It's not. It won't draw blood, but it's not what you call cuddly.
No, it isn't like hugging.
No. So, but nothing. You know, if you want to prune it, you can prune it and shape it any way you like. It responds well in that respect. And nothing seems to hurt it except too much water, obviously. Mm. But there are other varieties if you can find them. That's the problem. Finding those varieties in western Oregon of upright juniper, you're going to have to look at a lot of nurseries or, you know, get on the internet and go through nurseries and see what kind of stock they have on hand and that kind of thing. But they're definitely drought resistant, all of them. And even though we get a whole bunch more rain than Bend does, or, you know, any of eastern Oregon, they still grow well here. In fact, they grow a little bit weller. How's that for a word? A little bit weller. Just make sure they got a good drainage and you don't put them in a low spot and they'll do fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They should do well this year, according to our governor. We're in extreme drought.
Again?
Yep.
Yes, we've been doing that for a lot of years.
I know.
Extreme COVID, extreme drought. I mean, we're extremists all the way down the road. Okay.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah. But the other varieties that are out there all are unique. And you know, when you look at two or three of these kinds of things or look it up on the internet and see photos, color photos, you go, wow, I like that tree. And it'll have the name and, you know, like I say, just go to the nurseries that are in the computer systems and start seeing, you know, what type of plant do you have? What type of juniper do you have? Take a look at it. And oftentimes if somebody wants that, I can look for it too. And, you know, once I find it, I'm going to go score some. I'm going to get, you know, 20 in my truck and bring them home.
There you go.
Yeah. And because I like them personally because they're just, they're a no maintenance tree. I mean, they don't need pruning, but if you want to prune them, okay, they look good.
Won't hurt them either way.
No, it won't, no. But you can, you know, speed up their growth a little bit, you know, by planting them in good soil and with a light fertilizing program, but just make sure they have good drainage.
And you don't want to burn them up.
No. So another tree, and it's a local tree, incense cedar. Grows wild on all our hills everywhere. Yeah.
What is it?
Incense.
Oh, incense.
Yeah, what did I say? Insects?
That's what you said. I thought what you said.
You thought I said insect cedar.
Incense and peppermint.
Yeah, they only got six legs. No, but incense cedar is native to Oregon. And it's usually found grown naturally on hot, dry ground, you know, that's in full sun all the time, and they do really well. Now, you'll find them in other places, too.
But I bet they're doing well today.
Yeah, but you won't find them in deep shade. They don't like that.
They don't like it.
Yeah, Port Orford cedar would be good for deep shade or some other types, but not the incense.
Can we continue that on the other end?
Yeah, I got a lot more to say. What's wrong with you?
More incense cedar.
Incense. Oh. You know, like when you burn incense?
Yeah.
Okay. Incense. Don't forget.
That's like no sense.
Right. Incense.
All right. We'll be back. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, we haven't gotten one call yet, Mike.
Well, good. I got way too many pages of notes here that I prepared for this show, so I'm gonna, this is going to continue next week.
All right, we're talking incense
cedar.
Cedar.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say peppermint.
It's not a peppermint cedar. Get out of here. But it's a good tree. It's a tough tree. Nothing seems to hurt it. It grows. It's not like real fast growing. If it's if you get one in your yard and it has a little bit of water, it's going to grow a bit faster than it does in the natural areas. But normally you find them isolated, on hot western or south slopes, because Douglas fir will make it on those kinds of slopes, but this one was made for hot, dry areas. And if you have a yard that with a big backyard, say, or even the front yard where it might be on a slope, maybe it's a big yard and you can't water it all, but you would like a nice evergreen, possibly give you some shade in the future, an incense cedar is going to be a good one. And it's actually fairly fast grower, maybe 18 inches a year to maybe 2 feet in a year, which you might say, well, that's not very fast, but 10 years is 20 feet, okay? And they grow. Trust me. You don't plant them too close to the house or to your neighbor's fence. They'll knock their neighbor's fence over. But and these things can ultimately grow, and it takes a long time to get there, to about 80 feet tall. And the needles are kind of a deep green, and some of them, it depends on the, I don't know if it depends on the soil nutrition or what. You can sometimes see a little bluish tint into the green. But it's a nice yard tree for hillsides, or if you have a large backyard, maybe you want to have a screen from your neighbors on the backyard, and you've got a fence and all that. But you can plant some of these along there. You'd plant them about 20 feet apart, no closer than 15, but maybe 20 feet apart. And if you've got a backyard that's 100 feet wide, that's five of them maybe. That's all. But you don't want to plant them in the lawn. They won't make it in the lawn, and they'll be much, much too wet. And I've planted quite a few on my property. Not the incense, but I skipped a paragraph here of my notes. But my favorite cedar, this is my favorite cedar, is a deodar cedar. And a deodar cedar is a fairly fast grower. It can grow like twice as fast as the incense cedar. And it can take abuse once it's established. It does well in full sun and dry conditions. And it'll grow 80 feet tall or even more.
Wow.
And the needles are blue-green, and it's a very nice yard tree if you have a large yard. Or it's one for hillsides. I've planted them on hillsides. I've got some down my field. I've got groves of them in different areas. But since I don't have an irrigated lawn, yeah, I've got a row of them on my property line as a screen, because the road coming into the property, before we had the trees here, you, at night you see the headlights and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they wouldn't
yeah.
actually shine into the house, but it would be enough of a distraction.
It'd be annoyance.
I said, I'm going to plant some trees here. So I did. I planted deodar cedars.
Problem solved.
Yeah, it was. Cause
cool.
You can't see through it now.
Nice.
Yeah. But I planted quite a few on my property just to see how they would grow under adverse conditions. I'm always testing. You know, the book says, well, this will happen. And there are some experts that say, well, this is what will happen if you plant it here, or this is what it'll do. So, I take their information and hold on to it. But then I do my own experiments just to see how accurate they were, or see how far ranging these particular trees will grow outside of the box that those so-called experts put them in.
Yeah.
And they do well outside the box. I've got them on my north slope in shady areas. They don't grow quite as fast in a shady area, but in the full sun they do wonderfully. Mm. And they're a very attractive tree. They're very pretty. The branches come out and they kind of hang down, weep a little bit, not like a weeping type tree, but yeah. just a little bit of a weep. And the new growth comes in the spring, and it's kind of a soft blue color. And when you look at the tree after it's stopped its new growth thing, but this time of year, it still has that bluish green tint to it. So that's the attractive part. It's a good yard tree. If you have a good size yard, you can plant one of those and you'll like it. It'll work. Just if don't plant it in the middle of the lawn or something like that. Plant it in a place where it's not going to get a lot of water. Or not in a low spot.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you got low spots, make a mound. Plant it in the mound, for crying out loud. It'll do well. And I got one right beside my creek, but it's about 8 feet, 10 feet up from the creek. And it's doing quite well, because the creek, thankfully, never gets up that high, Yep. So are we about out of time?
Yep.
We are out of time. I got lots more. And next week, we'll catch up with all this. So thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something.
Are there still weeping willows around?
Oh, yeah. I grow them.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen any for decades.
I've got a weeping contorted willow. They twist. The branches twist.
Yeah.
So it's not just hanging straight. It's hanging, but it's twisted around. It's really a cool tree.
Cool. Yeah. See you next week.
I will. I'll be here. Trust me.